Hello and welcome to the Damn Fine Life podcast with Rinku Madan. I'm Gaurav Kapoor and I'm here to introduce this show, which is a unique and exclusive take on luxury hospitality from across the globe. Now, I am fascinated by luxury hospitality just as much as you are, which is why I'm super excited about this show. Because it's not just about the business of hospitality, but it's also about stories, journeys, histories, insights, a peek behind the curtain, if you may, from the world of luxury hospitality. So let's dive straight in.
Powered by Soneva Resorts and Residences, Marchese di Barolo Wines, and the Leela Palaces, Hotels and Resorts. Brought to you by Dan Hotels Israel, Chalet Hotels Limited, Hotel Kempinski Indonesia, Fratelli Wines, and TAF Reverse Your Fat. In partnership with our season partners, Postcard Hotels, a collection of intimate and bespoke luxury hotels hidden in holiday destinations across India and the world. The Postcard Hotels combine luxury with simplicity, helping you retreat to a life that is luxurious, simple, unhurried, and filled with rich discoveries. Easy Diner, the one-stop platform for the most enjoyable, authentic, and friction-free table booking experience. Instant confirmations and amazing deals on food and beverage in over 150 cities in India and now in Dubai too. JetHQ, the world's most trusted aircraft sales with deep industry knowledge, real-time data, and market analysis by dedicated professionals. An aircraft brokerage company with headquarters in the United States, JetHQ's experience and international expertise allow them to serve you 24/7 across the globe in almost every time zone. A one-stop solution for sale and purchase of pre-owned aircrafts. My guest today is Max Hitchens, also known as the hospitality doctor for the last 25 years. This doctor has been paramount in helping revive many ill hospitality companies and getting them back on their feet. I definitely want to know how he does that and about his association with the world of hospitality. Please welcome Max Hitchens, the hospitality doctor.
Hello, Rinku, and thank you for having me on your program. I am absolutely delighted. The hospitality doctor, I know you're going to ask me, how did that come about?
Yes, that was my first question, actually. So, yes, please tell us, what does that mean?
I think I've always been a fix-it kind of guy, and I think around the problem, or if there is a problem, how do you solve it? And we'll talk about when the internet began a little later on in the session. But perhaps if I draw an analogy through the headmistress of a high school who had a perplexing problem that was brought to her by the janitor. The girls in their final year at school were wearing lipstick, which they were allowed to wear. The problem was they would go to the washrooms and they would kiss the mirrors. And in kissing the mirrors to see the shape of their lips, everyone thought that was great. The headmistress asked the teachers to ask the girls not to do that, and that didn't work. So she decided to meet with the girls in the washrooms with the janitor. And she said to the janitor, "What is the problem with the lipstick on their mirrors?" And he said, "It's just a time problem. It just takes ages and ages to clean the lipstick off." And he said, "That's the problem." She said, "Show us how you clean the lipstick off the mirrors." So he picked up his mop. He went over to one of the pans in the toilets and dumped his mop in the pan, pulled it out, walked over to the mirror and started to clean the mirror with his mop. Now, I'm reliably told that no one ever kissed the mirror again. I kind of like the idea of how do you think around a problem? How do you... So as the doctor, I'm always looking at in the hospitality industry problems and thinking, well, is there another way to look at this?
So, Max, you have always been interested in hospitality. So have you always been immersed in hotels?
Immersed is a very good word, because I was pitched in, my brother and I as teenagers were pitched in to run a heavily, heavily indebted hotel that my dad and mum had bought. Unfortunately, cancer grabbed my father by the throat and choked the life out of him. And all of a sudden, my brother and I were pitched in to run this hotel. Now, we were teenagers, and we really didn't. My mother was sick, and she wasn't able to do much. So we were there to run this business. 3 weeks after the dad died, the bank manager called us and said, "We're going to have to call up your loan. You're too highly geared." Now, the only good thing about that is we had no idea what he was talking about. We didn't know what gearing was. We didn't know what leveraging was. It was I had gears on my push bike, and I was wondering why he was interested in my push bike. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we had to put our heads down and work like crazy, which we did do, and we did come out of it pretty well.
Lovely. That's actually really interesting. So tell us something about your latest book, Thinking for the Hospitality Industry.
Well, I decided to get to ask. I have a lot of contacts that I've built up around the world. I decided that what a great opportunity to call all my friends and colleagues. Yes. And people that have been in my seminars, and I did, and I said, look, I'm looking to put this book together, and I'd like to hear perhaps some of the best ideas you've seen or heard of or whatever. And I put it together, and it's called Post-Pandemic Thinking for Hospitality. Mm-hmm. And Tourism. And there's a whole heap of ideas, things like you need to be aware of things that are going to happen in the industry. We're talking about augmented reality, personalized restaurants. There's a restaurant in Amsterdam. They've personalized, you have your own little secluded cabinet. We talk about using TikTok as a marketing tool. We talk about the importance of government help, where and how to find government help, and all sorts of ideas from all over the place, from some very good thinkers, very good operators.
Yeah, it's very interesting, some of the things you say. How do you use TikTok as a marketing tool?
Well, again, it's about thinking differently. How do you try and take something to another level? How do you you may do it with your staff. The best thing I know to do in any marketing, in any hotel, restaurant, bar, tavern operation, is to do it in conjunction with your team, with your staff, and call them in and get them involved in it, and say, look, let's try and think of some way to come up with how do we use TikTok? How do we do it? We've been operating hotels for some time, operating hotels, bars, restaurants, and I remember there was an older lady in one of the bars we had, and I went, we'd just taken it over, and I went to her and I said, this is a great idea. I want you to do it in your bar, and I think it'll work. And she looked at me and she said, no, it won't. It'll never work. And I was, you know, somewhat shattered, and she was right. It didn't work. And I thought, the idea is good. I just did it the wrong way. I didn't think about it enough. So the next idea I went to her with, instead of saying, here's the idea coming from the top, I said, I saw this idea somewhere recently. Eileen was the name. And I said, do you think you could make this work in your bar? And guess what? It worked and worked and worked and worked. And we took that bar, we increased that bar with this very same person in it who'd been running it for 5 or 6 years beforehand. We increased it 1,000%. Every idea I'm very big on using ideas and trying things. Every idea I'd learnt, never to make it my idea, it was her idea. So how do you use TikTok? You get your staff involved and say, let's think this through, see if we can come up with something. I'm a big believer in my Hospitality Jungle book. I talk about the 4T principle, and it's take time to think. And if we can train our people to do it, if we can show them how and involve involved in. Years ago, I was in America in my very early years of speaking, and I was coming back from America, and I'd been a friend of mine. I didn't have any money much at that stage, and I was flying economy, and a friend of mine got me upgraded, and I was went up to business class, and of course I was traveling from New York back to Australia, which is about 25 hours or so, and I was in old jeans and old clothing, and in America in business class they really, everyone dresses to fly business class. You don't fly in old clothes. And I remember the steward coming out, and he's going around the tables and saying, "Madam, can I get you something? Sir, what would you like? Madam, would you like? Sir, would you like?" And he got to me and he said, "Yeah, what do you want?" And I was feeling pretty bad because I was looking for, grubby. But I had to think around the problem. So I called him over and said, "I just want to say thank you." And he said, "Thank you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "What for?" I said, "For not telling him who I am." And he went back, looked at the log to see who I was, and I was Max Hitchens. I wasn't anyone different, but I was obviously someone. So the next thing, he came out and said, "Sir, what can we do for you? How can we help you?" So it's about thinking around a problem. It was a bit of fun.
So what is your success rate as a hospitality doctor?
I like to think it's 100%, actually. I've never been in a business that we didn't improve dramatically. I've never done a seminar where people didn't come and tell me how various people in the group had gained enormously in Vietnam. I remember speaking in Vietnam, and the owner of the property said, "Look, you won't get through to this guy. He's the chef, and he's just incredibly difficult to get through to him." And he came to me, the owner came to me after, and he said, "I cannot believe," he said, "you have turned this guy into an amazing," he was always a good chef, but he had no ability or didn't understand what marketing was about. And he said, you've done an incredible job. See, my belief is that everyone on the team is involved in marketing. It isn't just the people in the front office that are involved in marketing, because everyone that has any connection at all with the guest has the opportunity to be a marketer for the property, for the business, for the food.
Absolutely. So you also talk about something which you call the zebra marketing principle. So what is that?
Zebra marketing principle. It's one of the principles in my book, The Hospitality Jungle. And it's about standing out from the herd when you have low budgets or no budgets. And I guess most of us in business have that, low budgets or no budgets. And again, it's about thinking creatively. What can you do creatively? Give you an example. In my seminars, and often in seminars, you're given a handout of some kind. I know you've been to plenty of seminars and you've seen them, and people are at all times giving out pamphlets and things in the street, and most of the time people just screw them up and throw them away. They don't take any notice of them. With my anything I give out as in a seminar, I'll always have a bit of magic attached to it. I'll do I have some magic squares that I show people how to use it and have some fun with it and enjoy it. I lead in with a story telling about my daughter, who when I did the magic with her, she was just stunned, and all she wanted to do was to take it and use it with her friends. And it's just a way of showing, it's sort of making them the magician, if you like. And people hang on to it because it's a good thing. They can play with it if you like, as against just giving me something, telling them how wonderful Max Hitchens is because it says so on the flyer. I'm giving them something that makes them good. I do it with advertising often in magazines or in newspapers. You'll see in for sale columns, and all the columns are pretty much the same. They all look the same. They've got the classified advertising, and what you do with classified advertising is invariably you put a circle around it. If you're seriously looking for something, you put a circle around it. So I thought, yes, what I'll do with any ads I put in anywhere, and suggest this and tell people about it in seminars, circle your own ad and put it in with a circle around it. So when you open up the page, you've got this big page and everything looks the same, with the exception of your ad that's got the circle around it. So it immediately takes their eye.
So I remember you telling me a story about one of your encounters with one of my favorite actors, actually, Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
Do you want to share that again on public platform?
On a public platform. I worked in a hotel in London, and it was on Park Lane. And it was the newest hotel in London. And I was in a morning suit. You know, the striped pants, the black jacket, and I was on the reception desk, and I thought I was pretty wonderful. I was straight out of this little country town, and all of a sudden I'm working on the front desk of a London hotel, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and people are checking out, and the foyer is full of people, and this little guy came over to me and said, psst, he said, "Hey, guy." He said, "You look like a man of the world." And I thought, oh, wow, am I a man of the world? You know, I'm from a little country town, but I wasn't going to tell him. He said, "Tell me, guy," and remembering the hotel is full of people checking out. And he said, "Where can I get a prophylactic?" Now, I had never, ever heard of the term prophylactic. Had he said condom, had he said French letter, would have known exactly what he was talking about.
So does prophylactic mean that? You and I didn't know this.
It's very much an American term. And I'd been in trouble the day before with the general manager who'd said to me, "Mr. Hitchens on reception desk, just do reception. Do not leave the desk." I was tending to leave the desk and go and solve the problem and whatever. And I thought, I don't think this is a reception problem. So I turned to and across the room, about 20 yards away, was the hall porter, and I cupped my hands around my mouth. And I said, "Mr. Walker, this gentleman wants a prophylactic." Now, it turned out I think I was the only one in the room that didn't know what a prophylactic was. And the entire room turned to this Danny DeVito lookalike. He was absolutely, so much looked like Danny DeVito, it wasn't funny. And he was shrinking like the Wizard of Oz. He was actually shrinking in front of me. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. I thought I was going to be in all sorts of trouble. I thought I'd lose my job over that. But I found out later, the general manager, years later, I heard, used to tell the story all over the place. So, yeah, embarrassing moments. I love embarrassing moments. I'll actually run to put myself in an embarrassing moment or a potential embarrassing moment. I think that's one of the points about the importance of I talk about the kangaroo principle in the book. And the kangaroo principle is all about getting up, bouncing back again, getting up after failure. The only thing that is a failure if you fail is failing to learn from it. You know, it's important to learn from the mistake and say, okay, well, I can learn from that. I won't do that again. And lots of fun. I enjoyed telling the story. Couldn't tell it for about 10 years. I was so embarrassed about it. Now I can have people rolling in the aisles because they kind of like to hear. People kind of like to hear that, and they think because you're the speaker or the author or whatever, that you've never made any mistakes. Well, believe me, every author I know has made a zillion mistakes. I like to capitalize on them and tell of my mistakes. It's a lot of fun.
So when you were an even younger person in school, working, as you mentioned, in hotels, how was it different then than what it is now?
I guess when we were thrown in to run the hotel when Dad died, we just knew nothing. You know, we had. Do you know the movie the Best Exotic Hotel, the Hotel Marigold?
Yeah.
And you know, I love one of my favorite movies. Actually, you may remember Sonny, who was the young guy that came up with the idea of what to do with a hotel, and Sonny was pretty hopeless at a lot of things. Well, he made us look good, but he made us look good. He looked very good to what we were, because we had no idea about how to run a business. We had no idea about marketing a business. We had no idea about managing a business or motivating staff. Didn't know anything about, you know, how to get the best out of your staff. We were just blundered through things, and we were in we were scammed by so many people. a couple of young guys running this hotel got no idea what they were doing, and we were scammed a zillion times. So it was a lot of learning, and again, that's part and parcel of what it's all about. You've got to learn from those mistakes and get up and go again.
So how was that different from what it is today?
Well, my journey in the industry has been to forever learning. I did discover that formal education can earn you a living. Self-education can earn you a fortune. It's as simple as that. So I became an absolute absorber of everything. I learned everything I possibly could about, and I think it comes back to you. It's a knowledge thing. And then I decided I'd learn to fly a plane. I thought, well, that's pretty difficult thing to do. I wanted to learn to play the piano. And so I went to a music teacher and said, I have absolutely no musical ability. I just want to be able to play the piano. So I now, and that was about 20 years ago, and I now play every single day, play the piano and love it, love every minute of it. So I think it's a continual learning. And in hospitality, there are so many opportunities to learn. Just learning from people, the people you speak to, people that come into your hotel, people that come into your restaurant. There are some unbelievable people that come in that are super intelligent, are super successful, and you have the opportunity to serve them, to meet them, to greet them, and if you're just a little bit lucky, that you might get the opportunity to talk or ask a question, and I have no problems in asking people questions and learning from them. I have on my iPhone, I have a in the notes section, I have a section for today I learned. And I try and write something in there every single day on something I learned today. And I've been doing that for years. And I really do commend that, whatever field you're in, whatever business you're in, just continual learning. And you amaze yourself then. You think, oh, wow, is that good? It's all about knowledge. How can I learn as much as I possibly can? And it's so easy to do now with your phone. And you can put it in seconds and just review it.
Absolutely. So this is coming to an end to our questions. I'm going to do a short rapid fire with you. So Max, tell me, what are the three things on your bucket list?
Three things, yeah. I want to go to France again. I've been in France for a number of times. I love the country. I want to continue mm-hmm. to play the piano and to become. At the moment I'm very good, and I only wanted to become good for myself, but I want to continue to play the piano and become professional. And the third thing, because I'm a pilot, I want to keep flying. And we flew around the country once. I want to fly around again.
Wonderful. Describe Max Hitchens in three words.
In three words, learning, smiling, enjoyable. I use the word fantastic all the time, and I find I have trouble doing it in three words. But let me tell you that it's something that's very good. If someone asks me how I am, I always answer fantastic. And because it's a habit, it's like the habit of people just saying, oh, no, I'm okay. I always say fantastic. And people say to me, I really like talking to you because you make me feel good. And isn't that a good feeling?
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course it is. And I would agree with the smiling part completely. Okay, so what does Max like, whiskey or wine?
Well, now I love a red wine, and yeah, always have. So yeah, that's my choice.
So what movie can you watch again and again, over and over again? Which is that one movie that you love watching over and over again?
I go to the movies to enjoy and come out entertained. I love the sound of music. I love Marigold. It's one of my favorites. I can watch that over and over.
So, Max, I believe you finish all your sessions with a special verse each time. How would you like to end this session?
I would love to end it with this verse. It's called, Is Anybody Happier Because You Passed Their Way? And it goes like this. Is anybody happier because you passed their way? Does anyone remember that you spoke with them today? Were you selfish, pure and simple as you rushed along your way? Or is someone mighty grateful for a deed you did today? Can you say tonight in parting with a day that's slipping past that you helped a single human in the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Can a person whose hopes were fading now with courage look ahead? Did you waste a day or lose it? Was it well or poorly spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent? When you close your eyes in slumber, do you think your God will say you have earned one more tomorrow by the deeds you did today?
So we come to the end of the podcast here. Thank you, Max. I've really learned a lot, and some of the tools that you have discussed are so helpful, especially in today's trying times. Thank you for joining me on my show, Max.
It's been my pleasure. Bye.